Book of Hebrews, the New Testament, and the chapter number 10. Don't worry, I don't normally preach for any longer than an hour, so you're fine. Don't be panicking, in case you're thinking you'll be here to breakfast time. No, you won't. You'll get your supper, and then there'll be time to go home and get your supper as well. Hebrews chapter 10, and the verse number 7. Some verses here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. This is the words of verse number 12 that we want to consider for a time this evening. Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 12, it says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Can we just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer as we come to the preaching of his word for this evening. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence with us in this meeting thus far. We thank thee, Lord, for cause that we've had to remember those who have given their lives. Our Father, we pray now that as we come to thy holy and precious word, that you'll come and still our hearts, speak to us out of thy holy word this night. We ask, O God, that you'll make this word live in all of our hearts by faith. And we pray, Lord, that this night everyone will hear the voice of God, far beyond the voice of any preacher. Lord, we desire, we long that we might hear God's voice. So speak with us, O God, we pray. Continue on with us and give us help, both to preach and to hear. And through it all, glorify the name of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. We gather this evening on this Remembrance Sunday to remember and to pay tribute to those many, many soldiers and indeed civilians who in the midst of the great battles and wars of the last century lost their lives. And also to those who died in the more recent conflicts, particularly so here in our own province. This annual event of remembrance gives us an opportunity to honour their memory and to salute their bravery. So many who went to the battlefields of the great war never came home again. There they died on the battlefield. There they paid the ultimate sacrifice with their life. They left behind their family. They left behind their futures and their prospects, and they enlisted and they enrolled in the various military divisions, either on land, and sea, or in air. Many hundreds, thousands of young men and women on the Allied side lost their life during the two world wars and even in recent conflicts as well. The conflict in our own little province touched so many homes, touched so many communities, and many innocent civilians and brave members of our security forces were brutally murdered in the line of duty. And all of these deaths, whether at home or in the foreign field, they were in the defense of our freedom. They were in the defense of our liberties. You see, these brave soldiers and security force members faced a formidable foe and a fierce enemy. And that desire, that aim of the enemy was to remove and to take away the freedoms and the liberties that we presently enjoy in our nation. Those brave heroes that we salute and we honour this evening died to defend our freedom. Died to deliver our nation from the tyranny of the enemy. There was deliverance for us as a nation and as a people through their death. Their death was not in vain. They died to secure the victory over the enemy, and they died to secure the deliverance from the oppression at the hand of the enemy. And it is this theme of deliverance through death that I want to speak on this evening as we bring this remembrance service to a close. And as we do so, I want us to come to another place of death. I want us this evening, in the moments that lie before us, to think of another battlefield, another place where another life was given in order to bring deliverance. And that place of which I speak tonight is a place called Calvary. A place where we see one dying and giving his life that all who would believe in him might be delivered and saved from the power of sin. I want to direct your attention back tonight to verse 12, Hebrews 10 and the verse 12, where we read from a little time ago. And as we think of this theme of deliverance through death, we want to look at this verse this evening. I want you to see in this verse that there is a person identified. Look at the verse with me. It says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever." Verse 12 here brings before us a person, an individual. As we speak of this deliverance from death tonight, there is an individual, a person identified. You see, tonight across the battlefields of Europe this evening, there are graves. Graves with headstones, with names of those who died in battle. Many of those names also are inscribed in large monuments and in many places across the continent. In those places which saw the greatest loss of life. Even across our own province tonight, there are graves scattered across little country churchyards with names of people who died defending our freedom. But the name that is mentioned here and made reference to here in the Word of God in verse number 12 is a name that is far greater than any other earthly name. Verse 12 speaks of this man. But who is this man? Who's the one spoken of here? Who is this person identified here in verse number 12? Well, the writer is pointing back to what has been said in verse number 10, where he identifies this man as Jesus Christ. You see, this man who died on the cross of Calvary, who died to deliver us from the power of sin and the power of death, is the Lord Jesus Christ. While there are a multitude of names in the accounts of all the conflicts of past decades, and we salute their memory tonight, and we thank God for them, yet there is only one name. Only one man in the account of the Word of God and the whole message of the gospel that can save us, that can deliver us from the power of sin and death. And that one name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who became Son of Man, came into this world, came to set us free. He came to deliver us. What did he come to set us free from? He came to set us free from sin. You see, the Bible makes it clear tonight that we are all born in sin. We're all held in the bondage of sin, in the captivity of sin. And we of ourselves cannot release ourselves from that bondage. We need the help of another. We need help tonight. We need someone to set us free to do something that we cannot do ourselves. Those Allied forces during the Great Wars were the assistance and the help that the invaded countries needed in order to set them free from the enemy. They couldn't do it themselves. They needed outside help. And you see, folks, tonight, we are held in the bondage and the captivity of sin. We cannot release ourselves. We cannot set ourselves free from that bondage. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ that can. He alone is the one who can deliver us from the power of sin. It's Christ alone. That was one of the great cries of the reformers. One of those five solas that we so often think about at this time of the year. It's Christ alone who can save us. It's not Christ in the church. It's not Christ in our works. It's not Christ plus our own efforts. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ who can set us free from the power of sin. You see, we need to be saved. Tonight, you're here in this meeting tonight, still in your natural state by sin, then you're under the wrath and the condemnation of God, and the only one who can set you free from that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not here tonight to tell you about this church, because the Free Presbyterian Church can never save you. Your church, wherever you attend to in the Lord's Day, they cannot save you. Salvation is found alone in Jesus Christ. This new life that we will go on to look at is found alone in Him. He Himself said, "I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." So this person identified here in this verse is the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's something more here in verse 12 I want you to notice. Not only the person identified, but I want you to see as well here the pain involved. Because this verse goes on, it says, "After he offered one sacrifice for sins forever." This verse speaks of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ offering one sacrifice for sins forever. Now it's important to notice here that the sacrifice is not that of an animal, but rather it is that of Himself. Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary sacrificed, offered Himself there, bled and died that we might be saved. Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to provide for us a full and a free salvation and redemption. You see, Christ died that we might live. And as we think of Christ there offering Himself in verse number 12, we are brought to this place called Calvary. We are brought to that place of shame and sorrow. We're brought to a place where the lovely Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was crucified, where He bled, where He died, where He Himself offered Himself one sacrifice for sins forever. And what pain was involved in that? What sorrow was involved there for the lovely Son of God to be sacrificed? What sorrow He had to endure at the hands of those who stood around the cross that day as they mocked Him, as they jeered Him, as they beat Him. And then as the wrath of God the Father came upon Him, listen to the cries of Christ from the cross when He cried out in agony, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" You see, no man has ever suffered like Christ suffered that day at Calvary. The great hymn writer Isaac Watts, who wrote that great hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," he said, "See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown?" Tonight, see the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, bleeding and dying and suffering and sorrowing in order that we may be saved. Christ offered Himself that you this night might have peace and joy and contentment and happiness in your heart, that you might go at last to heaven. You see, not everyone is going to heaven when we die, because there is only one way to heaven. And that one way is through the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who said in John 14 and 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man," listen to it very carefully, "no man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to the glories that God has prepared. And that way is through Jesus Christ and faith in His finished work. You see, tonight it's not that there are many ways. It's not that you can go your way and I can go my way and we'll all get there in the end. No, if we don't go the way of the cross, we don't go at all. Tell me tonight, as we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and think upon Him there on the cross, offering one sacrifice, offering Himself in order to save from sin, are you saved tonight? Have you made preparation tonight? Are you sure of heaven? Are you trusting? Are you depending on Christ? Has there been that time in your life when you realized your sin, you repented of your sin, you turned from your sin, and by faith you received and you're trusting Jesus Christ alone? See how much the Savior loved you. He gave His life for you. He died on the cross. He suffered it all that you might be saved. Therefore, don't reject Him tonight. Don't turn away from His offer of salvation. Don't turn away tonight from your only hope of heaven, which is found in Christ and His finished work on the cross. We think of that sacrifice, their suffering. As we think of that sacrifice, there's also substitution. Because we're brought to the reality that Christ took our place. He was our substitute. He had no sin of His own. He was sinless. He was spotless. He was without sin. But on the cross, He was made sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. He took our sin. He paid our price. It should have been the sinner dying and being wounded and bleeding there on the cross, but that would never have saved your soul. That would never have satisfied the demands of God's divine justice. It took the death of Jesus Christ alone on the cross to set you free and to save you. Christ took your place. Christ took my sin there on the cross, died the death that I should have died. He bore the wrath of God for my sin. And yet tonight you will turn away from this love. You will turn your back on the love of God and trample underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. The writer says, "All ye that pass by, to Jesus draw nigh." To you tonight, is it nothing that Jesus should die your ransom and peace? Your surety is. Come see if there ever was sorrow like His. See the bleeding, wounded Son of God dying there on the cross in our room and on our stead. He died. And what have you done with His salvation? What have you done with the redemption that He attained there on the cross? Have you received Him by faith? Are you depending tonight on the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed there on the cross? Are you saved tonight? I'm not asking you tonight, are you a good person? I'm not asking you tonight, are you a charitable person? I'm not asking you tonight, are you a straight-living person? I'm asking you tonight, are you saved? Has there been that time in your life when you've received Jesus Christ? If not, then tonight come. And make this a night to remember. Make this a night when you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. What pain. What pain was involved in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We think of the pain tonight that so many of those brave soldiers suffered on the battlefields across Europe. We think of the pain that so many, even in our own province, suffered as they faced down the enemy. But tonight, think of the greater pain of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross as he died, was made sin, that you might be saved, and that you might go at last to heaven. See how much he loved you. He sent his son to die on the cross for you. Person identified, the pain involved. But finally, as we close this evening, notice now the pardon in view. Because the verse speaks of a completion, it speaks of a fulfillment. It says, one sacrifice for sins forever. You see, Christ Jesus came into this world to save the sinner from sin, and that work is complete. There's nothing more needs to be done. The pardon from sin that needed to be attained was attained and accomplished through the death of Jesus Christ. We need no other argument tonight. Sinner, you need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. You see, the pardon that was attained there for sin, that sacrifice that Christ offered, was sufficient. Was enough. Doesn't need to be offered again. His sacrifice doesn't need to be repeated, because he made one sacrifice for sin forever. Full stop. There's nothing more needs to be done. There's nothing we need to add to salvation. That is why tonight the Roman Catholic Mass is so wrong and such a blasphemy, that we should have no part or no involvement in it. Because every time they take that wafer, what are they doing? They're offering and sacrificing, they believe, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, as if his sacrifice on the cross wasn't enough. But thank God tonight it was enough. He died and he made one sacrifice for sin. Forever. His death was sufficient to save you. You see, this night, if you by faith receive Jesus Christ, turn from your sin, you come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and repentance, turning away from your sin, he says he'll come, he'll not cast you out, but he will pardon you and freely forgive you. Your pardon from sin. That's the guarantee of salvation tonight. He will blot out your sin. Not only pardon from sin, but he'll also give you eternal life. He will this night set you on your way to heaven. A verse speaks at the end there of the Lord Jesus Christ sitting down at the right hand of God. He sat down because his work was completed. His work was finished. And tonight the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. And for all who trust him, and for all who receive him, then one day he will bring you home to heaven as well. Do you have that assurance tonight? Do you have the assurance that it's well with your soul? Do you have the assurance that when it comes your time to leave this world behind, that you will go to be with the Lord in heaven? Let me ask you tonight again, are you trusting in Jesus Christ? Are you saved tonight? You can have this assurance tonight. You can have God's peace. You can have God's pardon tonight from sin. And where He is, one day you can be as well. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross procured a complete sacrifice for sin, a total sacrifice for sin. We don't need to work our way to heaven. In fact, we can't work our way to heaven. The only work that we need is the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, because his work is sufficient. Tonight he offers you a new life, true life, real life, a life that is worth the living. Maybe tonight you've come to this meeting with the conclusion that there is nothing in this life. And I can assure you tonight there is nothing in this life that will fully, totally satisfy your soul. But when you give your life to Jesus Christ, he will give you a new life. A life that's worth living. A life with meaning and a life with purpose. By nature, we're all dead in sin. It controls us, it governs us. But Christ died to give us new life. Real life. He died to deliver us from the power and the tyranny of sin in our lives. You can be pardoned tonight. You can be set free. The assurance, the guarantee of the gospel tonight is that if you come by faith, leave your sin, turn away from your sin, you shall be saved. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. It doesn't matter how you've lived. It doesn't matter what you've done. The Lord Jesus Christ can fully and freely pardon you from sin tonight and give you this peace. Your soul can be saved. Your life can be saved because of the assurance that we find here in the Word of God. Tonight, this is not the imaginations of this preacher. Tonight, I speak from the experience of my own heart. That day when Christ set me free. That day when Christ saved my soul. That day when Christ assured me of a home in heaven. After this life is over and what he has done for me, thank God he can do for you as well. Because we have the assurance of the Word of God. You can take God at his word tonight. You can rest in the promise of God tonight. You will be saved if you will but trust him and turn away from your sin. This year, as we all know, marks the 100th anniversary of the Battle of the Somme, the worst battle in the history of the British Army. A battle which, of course, involved many local people from our own province who had enlisted in the 36th Ulster Division. One of those soldiers who enlisted to go and serve in the Battle of the Somme was by the name of Private Frank Viner. And Frank was a young 21-year-old soldier who was sent out 100 years ago to serve in the Somme battlefields. But before he left for war in 1916, Frank's father had given him a little pocket Bible for his birthday. And he told his son, you take that little Bible with you everywhere you go. And you keep it close to you at all times. It'll protect you. Your life will be shielded as a result. Live your life according to the Word of God. Frank did that. He took that little Bible that his father had given to him. And he always kept his Bible in the right-hand breast pocket of his uniform. One day as they were in the trenches at the Somme, for some reason, Frank took the little Bible out of his right-hand pocket and put it into his left-hand pocket. He had just been, before that, been reading in the Word of God before he got into the trenches in the words of Psalm 91. And he had read verse 7, and it says this, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Remember, he had just moved his Bible from the right-hand pocket where he normally kept it to his left-hand pocket. And the words of that verse came to Frank's mind that day there in those trenches. But all of a sudden, there was an enormous blast as a shell had hit the trench that Frank and his colleagues were in. And many of those soldiers in that trench that day lost their lives. They were killed instantly. And Frank, like the rest of the soldiers, was thrown to the ground on impact. His helmet was blown off. His uniform was torn in shreds. And he too would have been killed if had it not been for that little Bible in his pocket. Because a large piece of shrapnel embedded itself into the Bible and didn't go any further into Frank's body. If Frank hadn't moved his Bible into his left-hand pocket, he too would have been killed. The Word of God saved his life. The Bible took the impact. This night, the truth of God's Word and the Christ who is revealed in the Word of God can save your life too. Let me ask you again tonight, are you saved? Are you resting? Are you trusting on the promises of God? Do you know God's peace? Do you know God's pardon? Have you the assurance in your life that it's well with your soul? If not, then tonight come. Come and receive Jesus Christ. He will freely pardon you from your sin and set you free and deliver you from the power of death. That doesn't mean that we won't die. Of course, we all must die. We all one day will pass the way of death. But for those who are saved, for those who are trusting in Jesus Christ alone, it means there will be no eternal death. And eternal death is separation from God for all eternity and a lost eternity in hell. You trust Jesus Christ tonight, you'll never be lost, you'll never be in hell. You turn tonight from your sin and you receive by faith His once for all sacrifice. You shall be saved and assured of heaven. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And God's salvation and God's pardon tonight can be yours. You can leave this meeting a different person from that you came in. You can leave this meeting tonight on your way to heaven. Pardon from sin and peace with God. Whatever you do tonight, don't reject the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is your only hope. He is your only way. He is the only way that you can be saved and delivered from the power of sin in your life. Let's bow in prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank Thee tonight for Thy precious Word. We thank the Lord that it is through Thy Word that Christ is revealed to us. And it is in that Word that we have the assurance of the Word of God and salvation of God. We thank the Lord that tonight in Thy Word we have read that this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Oh God, we pray that this night, for any who may be here in this meeting still in the bondage and in the captivity of their sin, Lord, we pray that this night You'll release them. Lord, that this night You'll save them. Lord, that this night You'll give them a new life in Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thy death was sufficient. The death of Thy Son on the cross was enough. It's all that we need to save us from sin. And so, God, we pray that You'll bless Thy Word to every heart. Speak on and bring the lost to Thyself, we pray. Hear and answer prayer We ask it in thy name and for thine honour and glory alone. Amen. Amen. We turn to our closing hymn on the order of service.